WTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, here on Crosstalk. This past Friday, President Trump declared a national emergency concerning the novel coronavirus disease outbreak. Since then, we've seen guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control modifying their recommendations, one of which gatherings of greater than 50 be avoided or discontinued. Numerous governors have called for states of emergency, schools shut down across the nation, retailers seeing record sales for common staples as many people panicked and started hoarding the supplies in panic. Some governors have gone to shut down restaurants, bars even. Information changing daily, sometimes hourly on this issue. But here for the friend of the program with a medical perspective, we welcome back Dr. David Stevens, CEO Emeritus of the Christian Medical and Dental Society. Dr. Stevens, thank you for joining us.
It's great to be with you again.
Do you believe are we seeing an overreaction from the president or the CDC in dealing with this coronavirus?
I don't think so. There's no way to treat this. There's no way to prevent it with a vaccine. So the only thing that's available is to prevent its spread. The only way to prevent its spread is to shut down gatherings, schools, churches. Our church had services yesterday. In fact, I preached once on Saturday night and twice on Sunday, but encouraged people not to come if they were elderly or had significant chronic diseases and are immunosuppressed. And, you know, we probably had 40 or 50 people there. The place seats 800. So I think that's going to happen even more so. And that's the only way to contain this thing at the present time is to decrease the spread. And the way to do that is to keep people apart and social distancing when you're close to them. I mean, I had to catch myself yesterday at church not to shake someone's hand.
Right.
Because it's just so common that we do that, but that's a great protection.
How dangerous is this virus? What is the mortality rate?
Mortality rate is between 2-3%, though the reported fatality rate here in this country is actually less than 2%. I think that's probably because of our medical care. But it's pretty deadly compared to the flu. The flu's mortality rate's about 0.1%. So this is 20 times more deadly. Mainly affects people that are elderly and have chronic diseases. And it's interesting, new data out of China shows that very little of it is affecting kids. Their ones under 9 are actually the ones that have the least amount of this disease, and it slowly increased in the teens and 20s, but really hit people 30 years and older, and the elderly are the ones that really had symptoms and had problems with it.
So if we're shutting down schools but loading up daycare centers, are we accomplishing anything there?
Well, I don't think we're going to be loading up daycare centers. I think pretty soon they're already happening, that people are going to be staying home with their kids, and we're going to be doing work remotely, especially in the states that are most hit hard with this. I mean, we're even thinking about that here at Christian Medical and Dental Associations, and I've already put some precautions in place and cleaning more frequently and all that type of thing, but at some point we have a contingency plan that people will work from home if this hits our community any harder.
Do you believe we're going to be seeing numbers in the United States as we do in China or Italy? I saw today in Italy they're reporting over 3,200 new cases, 349 deaths so far today in the U.S., 500 new cases, 5 deaths today. Will we see those kind of numbers we've seen in other nations?
I pray not, but, you know, some people are just taking this lightly and continuing their lives as before, and I think that's getting unwise, not only for them, but for others. And, we are told to love our neighbors. That means we do things that are to their benefit and being away from, other people, because when you start getting the symptoms and first come down with them is when you're most infective to other people. So, I think the key is going to be what we're trying to do across the country, and that is, to keep people more isolated from each other and then to isolate completely those that have the disease.
Can we have the disease and not know it?
you get sick with the virus. I mean, you get the virus about 5 days later, you actually have symptoms. And so well, they think that it's pretty much passed after those symptoms start, but no one knows for sure. There's still a lot of things we don't know about this virus, unfortunately.
We keep hearing about the necessity to flatten the curve. Your comments on that, are we taking the proper steps to flatten this curve?
I think what we're doing is socially isolating, you know, distancing people and not having large gatherings, and that's the best thing we can do right now. There was word out today that they're beginning stage one trials on a vaccine, but even if those are successful, by the time they get to us, it's probably going to be November or December. We'll really be looking at the next flu season when this might come back, if it disappears altogether between then and now.
So even this novel virus, the coronavirus as we know it today, that could change even by next season, could it not?
It could. It could. And this type of virus won't disappear completely. We're probably going to have to deal with it again, obviously be better prepared with medications and also vaccines time this comes around again. But they're really rushing to get a vaccine, and some of the new technology, genetic technology we're having, is enabling us to do that much more quickly than usual. What they're doing is actually making a type of RNA, a type of genetic material that the virus uses to get into the cell and take it over. And what they're doing is using a clip of that so the cells will not get infected. That clip is artificially made, won't get infected, but the cell will act like it has been infected and begin producing antibodies. So then if you're exposed to the virus, you'll be immune to it. So that's the hope, and that's moving forward very quickly.
I'd like you to address, again, and you touched on this some last week when you were with us, but to address the matter of fear, because we are seeing on the part of some great fear, great panic, if you could address that issue.
Yeah, the Bible speaks very clearly on this. We talked about loving your neighbor, but Matthew 6:25, do not be anxious about your life. You know, we have hope. This isn't the whole thing. We've got hope in heaven and hope in Christ. The Bible teaches in that verse 34 in chapter 6 of Matthew, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. So there's just all kinds of scripture that speaks to this. And if you're anxious, I encourage you to go back to God's Word and get into Romans 8:28 and John 14:27 and Philippians 3 and 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I think this is God does his best work in crisis. I spoke yesterday in church on courage, and God uses these incidences to give us opportunities to be a blessing to others and encouragement to them, and also an example. And we shouldn't be like people who do not know Christ in the midst of a crisis.
Dr. David Stevens with us, CEO Emeritus of the Christian Medical and Dental Society. By the way, folks, Dr. Stevens is a medical doctor, a broad experience, including medical missions. He led an emergency medical team treating some 45,000 suffering Somalis in the midst of war. In the Sudan, medical teams under his leadership treated more than 25,000 villagers to stop the spread of an epidemic. He knows from whence he speaks here on the issues. Dr. Stevens, as people take a total look at this matter here, what is your recommendation? What are you telling people across the nation on this issue?
Well, do what you're being told to do and keep up to date. The easiest way to keep up to date is go to the CDC, that stands for Center for Disease Control, CDC.gov, and they're keeping that thing up to date. They've got all kinds of helpful information on what to do to prevent this, what to do if you have someone sick in your home, what to do if you've got a family member that is at higher risk because of a chronic disease, like diabetes or lung disease or kidney disease, what to do in almost every situation you can imagine. And they're just practical things. I know people also are concerned about, you know, the hoarding that's taking place, the panic shopping and getting hold of things. And to decontaminate your own home, I advise something like we used when I was in Africa. It's cheap. It's readily available. And that is just get your bottle of bleach out of a laundry and put 5 tablespoons in a gallon or 4 teaspoons in a quart of water, and that makes a very effective disinfectant for your home. It's readily available, and spray it on counters, doorknobs, and whatever. Do that at least once a day or more often if you think there may have been some contamination. And do that rigorously, and then be careful to wash your own hands with soap and water for 20 seconds. Stay away from people 6 feet. Don't shake hands. Don't kiss. Don't hug. Don't do that type of thing, even with people that you know. And as you do those things, covering your mouth when you cough or sneeze, and stay home when you're sick, this protects other people as well as protecting yourself. If someone has chronic diseases, they should stay home. My wife has rheumatoid arthritis, is on an immunocompressive, depressive drug, suppressive drug, and I just told her today, she came in from the store, I said, honey, you're grounded, you can't go out anymore. Hmm. So if you're at higher risk, you just need to stay in the house and let other people do the shopping.
Something else transpired over the weekend, and this is from the U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams, who chastised the media Saturday for constantly sniping at the Trump administration. He said, I want you all to understand, straight talk from the nation's doctor, we really need you to lean into and prioritize the health and safety of the American people. No more bickering, no more partisanship, no more criticism or finger pointing. There'll be plenty of time for that, but we all need to hit the reset button and lean forward. The health and safety of the American people are top priority. Your comment on that?
I would agree 100%. It's easy to get into bickering, and we should have done this sooner. You can always say what if, no matter what happens, because nobody has complete foresight.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to do this perfectly. Nobody can. They haven't done it perfectly in other countries. And we're way ahead of most of them, so if not all of them. So right now, we need to pray. We need to ask God for direction for our leadership. We need to pray for others that are sick, and we need to do what we've been told to do to prevent this coming into our own homes and our own communities.
Dr. Stevens, have you had a chance or opportunity to review this bill that's making its way through Congress now, the H.R. 6201, that is dealing with the emergency orders pertaining to coronavirus? I ask because I saw a release come forth this morning from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, who are saying this is a bill that, while there are good things that we've got to do as a nation, but this particular one, there are elements of this that's going to harm independent doctors at this time.
I have not reviewed that bill. I know there were some things attached to it that had nothing to do with coronavirus, including about abortion and other controversial issues, and
mm-hmm.
That's pure politics when in a situation like this someone's holding up a bill because of things they want to get accomplished, and they think they can do it now in an emergency bill when they can't do it normally, and I think that's tragic. But there's a lot of views in medicine no matter what, and there are a lot of politics in medicine no matter what. And I had somebody wanted me to sign a document which was very political in nature, criticizing the administration. And so some of that's going on as well. So I'd have to look at the bill before I could comment.
Dr. Stevens with us. Thank you for joining us for this time here. I know you're in high demand right now for interviews, but thank you for coming and addressing our listeners.
It's good to be with you.
Dr. David Stevens, again, from the Christian Medical and Dental Association, their site, cmda.org, and he's advising you to stay in touch with the Centers for Disease Control at cdc.gov. cdc.gov. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, the age-old question, is it true that man evolved from the apes?
No, it is not, Chris. Humans were created separately. The animals, including the apes, were created after their kind, but humans were created in the image of God. Man is not related to the animals. But according to evolution, we are descended from the animals. It used to be thought that a rodent, a rat-like animal, was the common ancestor of all the mammals, but a recent study showed that the closest living relative of the common ancestor is the aardvark. How about that? We came from an aardvark. Chris, isn't it about time we recognize the evolutionary view as abject foolishness? Isn't it time we go back to Genesis and get it right?
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. The coronavirus declared a national emergency this past Friday by President Donald Trump. So much is happening, folks. The continued news alerts that were going off constantly as change was taking place. This governor's making this declaration now. This state is doing this. Schools are closing here, and now they're closing there. Businesses closing down. Some governors ordering businesses to shut down as well. By the way, we'll be delving a lot further into some of the constitutionality of this tomorrow with Attorney Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel, who also has been monitoring this. And, even some email and Twitter type rumors, texting type rumors going on as well that we'll be addressing. But Newsmax.com reporting that Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio said yesterday that there are estimates of 100,000 undiagnosed cases of coronavirus in the state, and some may never know they have the fast spreading illness. He said that's why we've closed the schools. That's why we issued the order last week, the order, no more people coming together in more than 100. We've closed the casinos. We're doing the things to try and keep people apart. Governor Tony Evers from Wisconsin just a bit ago banning gatherings of more than 50 people here in the state of Wisconsin as well. We have the governors of Ohio and Illinois announcing yesterday, that they're signing orders closing all bars and restaurants in their states to curb the spread of coronavirus. Establishments still be able to provide carry-out and delivery service to their customers. What we can't have is people congregating and seated, he said. You mentioned he's not postponing the primary Tuesday, saying democracy must continue. We know some states have done that already, have postponed the primaries. Illinois said no, they are not going to be doing that. Also, we have from Fox Business, the Federal Reserve yesterday slashing interest rates by a full percentage point to near zero, said it would buy $700 billion in Treasury securities, an aggressive step to insulate the U.S. economy from the coronavirus pandemic. Financial markets from CBS News in the U.S. briefly stopped this morning after stocks plunged minutes into the session, the third trading halt in 3 weeks amid mounting investors' fear over the coronavirus pandemic. Things have leveled off further on in that regard here as the day goes on, but we'll see what happens by day's end. Also, as Fox News reported, a cyber attack hit the Department of Homeland Department of Health and Human Services on Saturday, Bloomberg reported. Sunday night, the National Security Council tweeted that text message of rumors of a national quarantine are fake. There is no national lockdown. Bloomberg reports that the tweet was related to the hack and the release of misinformation. So a cyber attack hitting the Department of Health and Human Services. New York New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio declared the state of emergency. The entire city went into panic mode. And folks, this is happening all over the country, stampeding the drugstores and supermarkets, shelves laid bare in a matter of hours. Brooklyn, it was insane. A clerk stated that at one point customers were taking food from other people's baskets. Just about every shelf had been wiped out. Canned food aisle, produce section were the hardest hit, not to mention toilet tissue and cleaning supply aisles that were just devastated as far as its workings. By the way, we are seeing stores that are having Black Friday-like sales take place as far as the amount of sales that have hit their cash registers since. And then there are those tragic situations as well where you have American people who are seeking to have others fall prey to their tactics. March 1st, and this is coming to us from the New York Times. March 1st, the day after the first coronavirus death in the U.S., brothers Matt and Noah Colvin set out in a silver SUV to pick up some hand sanitizer. Driving around Chattanooga, Tennessee, they hit a Dollar Tree, then a Walmart, a Staples, and Home Depot. At every store, they cleaned out the shelves. Over the next 3 days, they took a 1,300-mile road trip across Tennessee into Kentucky, filling a U-Haul truck with thousands of bottles of hand sanitizers and thousands of packs of antibacterial wipes. They went to all those little stores, dollar stores in the backwoods, and all other places, major metropolitan areas were cleaned out. They stayed home then, preparing for pallets of even more wipes and sanitizer that they had ordered and starting to list them on Amazon. They said they had posted 300 bottles of hand sanitizer, immediately sold them for between $8 and $70 each. It was crazy. Profiteering that they were doing from this. Well, Amazon had pulled their items and thousands of other listings for sanitizers, wipes, and face masks. Now, while millions of people search in vain for hand sanitizer to protect themselves from the spread of the coronavirus, he's sitting on some 17,700 bottles of the stuff with little idea where to sell it, they report, saying there's been a huge amount of whiplash, and folks, rightly so. Rightly so. From being in a situation where I've got what I've got coming and going could potentially put my family in a really good place financially to what is going on? What am I going to do with all this stuff? Well, he's probably one of thousands of sellers who've amassed stockpiles of hand sanitizer and crucial respirator masks that many hospitals are now rationing, according to interviews with 8 Amazon sellers and posts in private Facebook and Telegram groups and dozens more. Amazon said it had recently removed hundreds of thousands of listings and suspended thousands of sellers' accounts for price gouging related to the coronavirus. Amazon, eBay, Walmart, and other online commerce platforms are trying to stop their sellers from making excessive profits from a public health crisis, while the companies aim to discourage people from hoarding such products and jacking up the prices. Many sellers had already cleared out their local stores and started selling the goods online. Now we got physical and digital shelves are nearly empty, reports the New York Times. I'd like to read a statement here from Frank Gaffney from the Center for Security Policy, where he says, "Don't let the globalist socialist agenda prosper from the Wu flu. Socialism is a bigger threat than the coronavirus, and the Wuhan flu has the potential greatly to accelerate the globalist efforts to spread their socialistic political agenda at the expense of both public health and national sovereignty. Remember, they believe a crisis should never go to waste." Video is circulating on the internet from an exercise dubbed Event 201 conducted October 2019. Its sponsors and participants, he said, included such globalist powerhouses as the Bloomberg-backed Johns Hopkins University, the Davos World Economic Forum, the Gates, Rockefeller, and UN foundations, the World Bank, the CIA, and the U.S. and Chinese Centers for Disease Control. They talk on tape about exploiting a pandemic to fund and build global governance, he said. "We must not allow the present crisis to undermine our national sovereignty and promote socialism." Unfortunately, the globalists clearly disagree. As I mentioned, the legislation that has been going very, very quickly through the House of Representatives and then also to the now to the Senate, there's grave concern that's been raised by some as to what is in this. For instance, Nancy Pelosi, as Dr. Stevens mentioned, tried putting abortion funding in this anti-coronavirus bill. Well, we understand the Trump administration was able to have that pulled out of there. But also, we see that there's other matters that are going on with this legislation. The alert that we received late morning today from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons says, "Tell the U.S. Senate to vote no on H.R. 6201. And they put out, "Dear AAPS members and friends, Capitol Hill appears to be implementing their rule, never let a good crisis go to waste. Early Saturday morning at 12:51 a.m., Speaker Pelosi forced a vote on a 110-page bill, folks, again, 110-page bill, the text of which was made available less than an hour earlier at 11:57 p.m. Friday night. The bill passed and is now on the way to the Senate, where it will be considered early this week. H.R. 6201 has a very friendly-sounding name, the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. But what is inside is anything but friendly to independent medical practices and all small businesses across the United States. One commenter notes that it should be called the Small Business Bankruptcy Act. President Trump called on Congress to give Americans a payroll tax cut, but instead, the Democratic-controlled House passed a bill imposing expensive mandates and regulations on small businesses. Grassroots activist Lisa Panette states, in an effort to be empathetic to workers that might be impacted by this virus, we've lost all basic logic on what this will do to small business. She details a number of the most harmful provisions in a letter to AAPS. It's full of new paid leave mandates that could force small businesses to lay off workers or cause them to close their doors altogether, warns Representative Mike Gallagher. Representative Chip Roy reiterates these burdens would lead to job losses and undermine the very thing we need for growth right now, freeing up capital for small businesses. H.R. 6201 places heavy burdens on small businesses, but the biggest corporations with more than 500 employees were provided exemptions. To make matters worse, the legislation adds billions of dollars to our deficit, explained Representative Louis Gohmert. And the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons asking for individuals to contact their members in opposition to H.R. 6201 through the Senate.gov website. That's a statement from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And again, I see that aspect come through and through. Robert Knight was with us last week here on Crosstalk talking about socialism. He just put forth a Washington Times column in today's paper saying you don't ever want a crisis to go to waste. It's an opportunity to do things that you would otherwise avoid. So said former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who is President Obama's chief of staff and an astute practitioner of smash-mouth politics. It's worth remembering that is the Democrats and their media do everything they can to hype the dangers of the Wuhan coronavirus. Now, not that it's not deadly serious enough, it is. People are contracting it and dying all over the world, and this has cratered the U.S. economy. But it goes on in his column, time's not going to permit me to read it all, about how many socialist aspects are coming into the discussion on this very matter. The other stories that are coming forth out of Iran, we understand that they have seen burial pits visible from space. They have not been prepared in Iran, like here in the United States, dealing with this issue. But they began digging burial trenches so large they can be seen from space, is being reported. And so there's also concern now with the closure of schools as to how young people are going to be eating across the nation. Some schools are actually opening up for a couple hours each day for people to come and get their daily sack lunch in order to be fed during this time of school closure as well. Also being interesting to note that Mayor de Blasio of New York Saturday said he believes that the Wuhan coronavirus is a prime example of why it's important, listen to this, of why it's important for the federal government to nationalize crucial factories and industries. The national takeover, lose that sovereignty, but for the takeover of certain crucial factories and industries here across the nation. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk further about the National Day of Prayer that President Donald Trump declared for yesterday. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Have you ever had someone attempt to talk to you about the Watchtower Society or the Book of Mormon? Or perhaps a friend has told you they've started yoga and invite you to participate. You know you heard something about these religions and teachings, but never had the material in your hand to give a biblical response to their teachings. Well, now you can. Two world-renowned researchers, Dr. Ron Carlson and Ed Decker, have teamed up to write Fast Facts on False Teachings, an easy-to-use resource guide that gives you quick, clear facts about several cults and false teachings. You'll find chapters on atheism, Freemasonry, Hinduism and yoga, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, and much more. Fast Facts on False Teachings is available for a donation of $16 or more by writing VCY America at 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208. To make your donation by phone, call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. As the coronavirus has been declared a national emergency here this past Friday by the president. As we mentioned, Georgia has postponed their presidential primary over this. Those of you listening in Georgia has postponed the March 24th presidential primary over fears of the coronavirus pandemic. We understand that it's been pushed to May 19th, when other state primary elections are scheduled to be held. We understand also Louisiana became the first state to push back its presidential primaries on Friday. That was an April 4th primary, and they are putting that off until June the 20th at this point in the state of Louisiana, reports FoxNews.com. President Donald Trump did declare a national day of prayer for Sunday. Matter of fact, it was a little bit after 5 o'clock on, or just before 6 p.m. Eastern time Friday night when he tweeted out, quote, "It's my great honor to declare Sunday, March 15th as a national day of prayer. We are a country that throughout our history has looked to God for protection and strength in times like these. No matter where you may be, I encourage you to turn toward prayer in an act of faith. Together we will easily prevail." That was a tweet that went out from President Donald Trump on Friday evening, and I tell you, Twitter just went berserk at that particular point. Yes, there were those who affirmed the president in the things that he had to say. But certainly there were others as well that were very critical. Here, let me just read you some of those response. In response to the president calling for a national day of prayer on this issue, another person retweeted back, "In times like these, we should look to science, not religion." Here's another one that says, "I pray to God you resign." Another said, "The national day of prayer isn't until May 7th. March 15th is the Ides of March. Great timing." Someone else responded, "Contribute to Bernie Sanders." Somebody else sent out something from the Church of Satan. Another one said, "In this case, we look to Nancy Pelosi to take over because you're dumb, and praying doesn't stop the stock market from crashing." Interesting indeed. Folks, as we see people thumbing their nose at God, even in the face of a national emergency. And we have seen even response that came from Rashida Tlaib in all of this as well, using an expletive as it relates to the president calling for a national day of prayer. It was the weekend retweeted a post on Twitter which said in part, and she uses an expletive, "National Day of Prayer," in regard for President Trump calling Americans to pray for those affected by the coronavirus outbreak. Certainly a number of emergency orders have been put in place across the nation. Not all of those emergency orders are actually being utilized, but it does open the door for a full utilization of emergency powers by various governments as it relates to things like, you know, the gasoline and food and stores and all those types of things as well. But certainly you've heard a lot, you've been taking a lot in over the past couple of days, and we will be revisiting this tomorrow with Matt Staver, because now even the Supreme Court has postponed their oral arguments during the month of March, and we'll have his comments on that and other related issues here today. But let's open the phone lines to hear your thoughts on where things are across this nation today. Again, I want to underscore what Dr. David Stevens said, is that don't rush to panic and fear in times like these. in John chapter 14, verse 27, where we said, peace I leave with you. Just, this is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Folks, we'd like to open lines today, give you opportunity to speak on what's on your heart regarding this matter. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. And certainly the media has been fanning the flames. Here's from Newsmax.com. The Trump campaign released a statement Sunday, yesterday, accusing CNN of deliberately lying in an effort to mislead the American public about President Donald Trump's attempts to contain the coronavirus. The campaign specifically cited a 7-minute segment hosted by CNN's Anna Gabrera that repeated the debunked false claim. Trump said that the coronavirus was a hoax. You know, they can do things with editing that make it sound like that. But the Trump campaign accusing CNN of intentionally lying to the American people. Well, let's go to the phone lines here today. We're going to begin in East Troy, Wisconsin. William, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Brother Jim, thank you so much for all that you do over there, and I appreciate you bringing this up. I just wanted to share something with you. We've had great opportunities to share with people the truth about Jesus Christ and who he is, because what are most people fearful of? With this virus, they're fearful of dying.
Yeah.
So I've been able to ask people, what are you afraid of? And it's death. And I'm like, really? Well, what are you afraid of dying for? What's the issue? And I will tell you, people are afraid of dying because they don't have a right relationship with God through Christ. And I think this is a great day that real believers, true believers, can stand up and go out and share the truth about who Christ is and that he conquered death and gave us eternal life because of what he did on our behalf. That's just my encouragement today. And I just was at the bank talking to a gentleman, and I'm just excited. These are exciting days for believers. So thank you for what you do, and keep encouraging the brothers and sisters in Christ to get out and do the right thing.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, William, for that. And indeed, folks, what an opportunity to share the gospel with others as this is on people's minds. And there is something far greater than the coronavirus that can destroy them, and that's something called sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know that the coronavirus can take care of the physical body, but woe to the one who neglects dealing with that most important issue, that which kills both body and soul. How important it is for folk to come to know Christ the Savior. And maybe you're listening right now and you yourself have been just all up in turmoil and trouble by all that's going on. And you have that fear that William just talked about, that fear of death. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin and that we can have everlasting life in him, knowing him as Savior. So very, very important. Jerry is next in Wautoma, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jerry. Hello, Jerry. You're on the air.
This thing is being totally overhyped. I mean, they're not telling you that colloidal silver will kill anything. There's nothing that can live in a colloidal silver environment when you drink that. And these are supposed to be learned people, educated people, doctors, etc. Why do they not know this? I mean, and the other thing is, there's a God up there, and he says, I am in control, and we are to go about our lives the way we normally would. He says, occupy till I come. We're not to fear anything. We're not to worry, because God's in control. And you got people like our governor here in Wisconsin that all of a sudden he thinks he's God and closing restaurants. But then he stated that, oh, come April 6th, everything's going to be just wonderful. Everything's going to be gone. Well, how does he know that? He's not God. I mean, it's just very frustrating that they're taking this thing to a whole stratospheric level. I mean, when you think of all the people that die in car accidents every day, are we banning cars, let alone in one state, let alone in all the states? What about people dying of heart disease, cancer throughout the world? Are they finding cures, rushing to find cures for that? No, they don't care about that. Oh, this thing is taken way out of proportion, and just like Brandon House said earlier, There's something else going on here.
Jerry, thank you for the comments. Appreciate it. Yes. Let's go to Lewis next. You're on the air.
Thank you. Taking my call. I think of a passage in the book of Proverbs that says, for lack of fuel, the fire goes out. And I think of these times with the coronavirus that people should obviously stock up on real thin-type cotton gloves, not to have their hands exposed, and obviously keep washing their hands and then wear like a cotton mask, or if you have to, put like a certain large handkerchief over your face. Well, it kind of looks ridiculous in the public eye. But like, say, back to basics, for lack of fuel, the virus cannot live on a very clean-type person.
And Lewis, as guests have come in, and Dr. David Stevens last week, the masks are, they're not going to give protection for those who are not infected, but it will stop those who are infected from expelling, from sneezes and coughs and so forth, getting that virus out there.
Yeah, and I was told this like 20 years ago that when a person sneezes and you say, God bless you, and then when they say thank you, they're blowing them germs on you. So, I mean, it's not to say God bless you when a person sneezes.
Okay. Thank you, Lewis. Bill is next in Blue River. You're on the air. You're on the air.
All right. Thank you, Brother Jim. I think it's rather sad that we've gotten to this nanny state where our children are going to go hungry when the schools are closed. I hope this is a wake-up call, if anything, and heaven help us.
Hmm. Thank you for your thoughts. Our number, 800-733-9829. What he's saying there is we've become dependent upon the school district, upon the federal government, to feed children. Is that what we've come to? Beth in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, I just want to say, first of all, I think this is a good thing. A good thing in the respect that it is kind of resetting people's mindset, in that instead of worshiping the world, it's now making them start to think about what is important.
Yeah.
And secondly, also, I think it's also teaching them to be prepared. We've always been talking about preparedness, not necessarily for something like this, but, you know, tornadoes or floods or whatever,
mm-hmm.
instead of living moment by moment. And thirdly, I think, what the man said before, you know, it puts people in a position of taking away the world and leaving them with nothing, basically, or just the essentials, and making them focus on, once again, their eternal destination. Now, not everybody. Some people are going to come to God through this,
mm-hmm.
and some people are just going to curse God for this. But it is a turning point, I think, or at least it's a preparation even, for what is to come, for those that are not saved.
Yeah. Thank you, Beth. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Courtney next in Miami, Florida. You're on the air, Courtney.
Oh, God bless you. I love what your first caller said. Only thing I want to add to it is that every day is a day that we can leave our house and just ask God to guide us, to show us how to lift up his name, Jesus Christ. And it's just wonderful this is happening because it gives us so much more time to just witness to people that they have a soul to be saved. That's all I wanted to say. God bless y'all. And I love your show because the thing is, you bring us news that we need to hear. Mm-hmm. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney, for your call here today. And our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Indeed, as the caller pointed out earlier, we are to occupy until the Lord returns. Occupy till I come. That means to go about doing the business of the Lord until he comes. What a great opportunity to share the gospel with others as they're thinking about mortality, as they're thinking about the end of life and all that's ensuing. Share how you can have true peace with God. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Many in America are shocked at the rate at which their church organizations, denominations, and other Christian organizations have completely denied the faith. They are not only denying the faith, but now they're promoting socialism, social justice, globalism, interfaith dialogue with Jew-hating, Holocaust-denying, Hitler-defending, jihadi-preaching imams. How did this happen? The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In all of these instances, whether it be a church, a Christian organization, a Christian denomination, or association, the first thing that happened is they denied the foundations of the faith, the fundamentals of the faith. Once they were moved off of the fundamentals of the faith and a biblical worldview, it was only a small step to their promoting the things of socialism, globalism, and mysticism. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
As Dr. David Stevens mentioned, take precautions, but don't fear. Don't rush into panic, folks. Recognize God is in control over all things, and certainly we look to Him. And President Trump calling for a day of prayer yesterday. Are you praying for this nation? Are you praying for wisdom for our president, for the vice president as he oversees this? Are you praying for those who head up the Centers for Disease Control, the U.S. Surgeon General, the National Institutes of Health, those who are that are grasping with these issues? Are you praying that that they would be able to certainly find the remedies here to dealing with this virus? Are you praying that this virus would stop in its spread here across the nation? So many ways that we can be praying even at this time. Let's go back to the phone lines. Merle is calling from Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, this has all the makings of a deep state globalist takedown. You look at the three things involved that can happen out of this. You have Trump in serious trouble with the economy tanks. You have the globalist agenda, much easier to implement when people are in fear. And the third thing is this will put on hold, if not postpone, Durham and Barr doing their investigation of Brennan, Clapper, and the whole group.
Hmm.
We all know that God is in charge, and the bottom line is he allows stuff, and he could have stopped it if he wanted to, but
right.
God allowed it. And I think he's putting us in spiritual timeout.
Hmm.
I think he's putting us in timeout to assess where we are spiritually as a nation. If you look, the three gods, materialism, sports, and education, have all three come to a screeching halt. So I believe we're in timeout. It all depends how we handle this.
Hmm.
Depends how soon it ends.
Thank you,
Jim.
Thank you, Merle, for those thoughts today. Let's go to John in Berrigan, Michigan. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, James. I believe, at least my thought is, that we are in such a dumbed-down society. I saw it on Facebook. I saw it on Twitter. I'm in my 60s. I'm in 60, 65-plus. I certainly remember in 1974 or something when Johnny Carson joked about a toilet paper shortage. All of a sudden, nobody could get toilet paper. We have survived the H1N1, the bird flu, the swine flu, everything. I've never seen anything like this. I've gotten to the point, other than your show and a few others on VCY, I can't take it. You can't watch the news. You can't listen to any newscast. This is all you talk. This is all they talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And the day I start to accept CBS, NBC, and all this other baloney as with everything else they've shoved down our throats, forget it. I'll shut up and give up this time. Thank you for your mission. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye. Next to Christine. You're on the air, Christine.
Jim, I thank you so much for this show because we already know that the Democrats are going to take advantage of this. That's what they
okay,
do.
Christine, we got a very bad connection. Are you talking right into the mouthpiece of your phone?
Yes, I am, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, we got a very fluttering. I don't know if you're on a portable phone or what, but it's very difficult to understand you here. I'll give you one more chance here.
Okay, is this any better, Jim?
Yeah, it is not, and I'm sorry, and I'd like to hear what you have to say, but the quality is really poor. Thank you. Vincent in Fort Myers, Florida, you're on the air.
I just want to say three quick things, and the first one is that Donald Trump, I personally believe that that God has appointed this man to be president, and when and if God allows him to overcome this tragedy and with all the things they've hit him with up to this point, it'll be a miracle, and we should all be able to stand back and really not necessarily thank Donald Trump, but thank God. The next thing is, here's a great opportunity for Donald Trump to show really Nancy Pelosi and the evilness of this woman by her putting pork belly items in a bill that's designed for the coronavirus. And if Donald Trump exploits this right here, he can set himself up for the next 4 years as far as how he deals with the Democrats, because the American people, they need to see how wicked, they honestly need to see how wicked the Democratic Party has become. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Vincent. Dean in Muskego, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was just thinking through all of this, if anything could maybe possibly come a positive out of this whole thing, is that it opens America's eyes to just how vulnerable and how dependent we are on the stuff we get from China, and that hopefully we can correct that, you know.
Yeah, as I reported last Friday, just even with China, with all the medical supplies that they provide to the United States, what a wake-up call is that he had threatened, hey, well, we could keep these things from coming your direction. We could stop these shipments. And certainly it is a wake-up call, you know, to look at what we do manufacture inside our nation. We need to become a manufacturing nation once again.
Yes, absolutely. So hopefully maybe this, and as a positive note, this might be a step to correct all of that, you know.
Okay, thank you, Dean. We've got Kevin calling next in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Kevin.
Well, thank you, Jim. I recently was talking to some church ladies who are in their 80s, and one told me, and she said she's not worried about this disease because she said God will take care of us. And I responded by saying, well, I'm not worried about this disease because if this disease takes my life, I know where I'm going. I'm going up to heaven.
Hmm.
And, of course, God did say, be ready to go at any time. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. One last call. Gary in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much. I love your program. Listen to it every day. I just wanted us all to take a deep breath and hold it for just a little bit and say thank you for the air. We need to have a spirit of thankfulness, not fear and worry. We need to let that air out, realizing that the Lord created everything about our lives, and He is in control. The wonderful thing is, thanking Him for the past, it brought us to where we are in the present.
Hmm.
Thanking Him for the present, He allows us to see things that most people will never see. But look at what our wonderful system did provide us and has provided us in the past, and it will provide us for in the future. Thank Him for that future. Thank Him for everything that goes in and out of our lives, because He and He alone is holy. He knows the ends from the beginning.
Amen.
And it is He that we are thankful to.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Gary. Thank you. Good thoughts as we close off the program here today on Crosstalk. Appreciate it. And to all of you as well. And again, our encouragement to be in prayer for our president, our nation's leaders, and certainly to keep our eyes focused on God. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.